بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Our last discussion, we were in our sequence discussing والعاديات, and we were the last few verses. It was basic translation I wanted to give there, and then today our discussion was supposed to be القارعة, and I'm thinking we'll stick it to that because I want to discuss القارعة, but I'll just translate the last few verses of والعاديات, which was about the horses, and the theme there being appreciation. And also very importantly, in this chapter, towards the end of Al-Adiyat, and the next chapter of Al-Qari'ah, it has a lot to do with Judgment Day. Like, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمْ, Allah asks in Al-Adiyat. Doesn't humanity know? Doesn't this person, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمْ? It refers to every person, but Allah is speaking personally about a person. So basically, it's for every one of us. Does he not know? أَفَلَا يَعْلَمْ, does he not know? فَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ, when what is in the graves will be unraveled, meaning everything in the graves will be taken out, will be extracted, meaning every one of us inside the graves, even though our bodies are disintegrated, dispersed into the soil of the earth, and we become like nothing. You know, just our souls remain, and there's a limb that Rasulullah referred to as the kakak's bone. Ajbul dhanab, is that how we pronounce it? Did you say?
Kokik's
bone. Just that one bone, from there, this human being will be assembled again. Otherwise, for most people, besides certain righteous, pious people, where there's proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves their bodies intact, like the Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba kiram, there's many incidents of the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum, whose bodies were totally intact, and righteous people, pious people, who after 5 years, when they come to their graves again in Medina Munawwara, they find that this body is totally intact. Then after another 5 years, they come back totally intact. The third time, they seal that grave. Just one or two examples of Sahaba kiram, so we can also learn about them. For example, a great Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram radiyallahu anhu. 40 years, about 40 years after he passed away, after Uhud. So 40 Hijri. So it's a little less than 40 years, because Uhud is second year Hijri. Uhud is third year Hijri. So less than 40 years later, almost 40 years later, it was during Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu's khilafah. Hazrat Muawiyah was digging a canal, and they had to exhume those graves and shift it. So they dug the grave, excavated the body, and the bodies of these two Sahaba, two brother-in-laws, Amr bin Jamuh and Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram, almost 40 years later, the chain of this report is sound. The body was totally intact of both these Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhu. Who's narrating this? Hazrat Jabir, famous Jabir. He narrated among the top 10 most amount of ahadith among Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhu. He was there because his father was Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram. So Jabir bin Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram. So he says, I was there, my father and my uncle, their bodies were totally intact. As we were removing my uncle's body, his hand shifted. So his head started bleeding again, because as he passed away, he put his hand on his head and he passed away like that. So as we carried him, his hand shifted and the blood started coming out, oozing, as though it was just passed away on that day. The freshness in the bodies of the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then a ajeeb thing happened 6 years later. The canal was dug. Hazrat Muawiyah dug the canal to make khidmah of the people and the hujjaj. Water was seeping through into the grave. They had to exhume again. And again, the bodies of these two Sahaba, because they were exhumed at that time, were totally intact. Now, who was this Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram? He was the Sahabi who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his son, because his father passed away in Uhud, Allah speaks to everyone behind the veil, but Allah spoke to your father direct. And Allah asked him, what do you want, Abdullah? Ask me. He said, Allah, I want to come back to the world to give my life for you again as a shaheed. Allah says that, you cannot ask. Allah will not give a person that. Now, Amr bin Jamuh was who? He was the crippled Sahabi. A'raj is the word that for crippled person. His sons were stopping him from going in Uhud. He says, no, you can't stop me from Shahada. Then, when they told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell our father to stay. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, let your father go. Imagine Allah honor him with Shahada. So he made his sons, Mu'ad, Mu'awad, Khalad, Abdul Rahman, four sons went, but two became Shaheed. Khalad, the son, and Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh. Now, Amr bin Jamuh, how are their relatives? Hazrat Amr bin Jamuh's wife, her name was Hind binti Amr. Hind was the sister of Abdullah bin Amr bin Haram. That's why this was the Sahabiya who lost Allah Akbar, her brother, her son, and her husband in that expedition of Allah. But still she made sabr. The example of that is our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Allah make it easy for them. Another example of a Sahabi whose body and his grave was excavated and exhumed recently, 1930 approximately, less than 100 years ago, in Iraq. And for some reason they had to exhume a certain Sahabi's grave, and that was Hudhayfa bin Yaman. And totally, totally, totally intact. Even doctors and eye specialists who witnessed that scene embraced Islam. Some of them were non-Muslim, because they said even the sparkle in the eye of this Shaheed Sahabi passing away in Allah's way was like that of a living person. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala says, don't they know what will happen when what is in the grave will be unraveled? Bu'thira. And وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and what is in the chests will be exposed. That should be the scariest part for us. Because Allah, that is, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for us in this world. Allah doesn't expose what's inside. That's why we have to make so much of istighfar and seek Allah's forgiveness. What is in the chests will be exposed. That is very, very worrying. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذِ لَّخَبِيرٌ. Verily, their Lord concerning them, indeed on that day, emphasizing that day. But Allah knows everything every day. يَوْمَئِذٍ, emphasizing that day, because that's the day of judgment. And these chapters are highlighting judgment day. يَوْمَئِذٍ, on that day, even though Allah knows everything every day. But that's the day of exposing. لَخَبِيرٌ. Allah is fully aware. Allah knows everything we did, everything we said, whether people heard or not, whether people know or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. That's why we have to make so much of istighfar and seek Allah's forgiveness and ask Allah to cleanse our hearts and enable us to have clean thoughts towards people. So that's about what happens on Judgment Day. The next chapter is very similar in the theme, which is chapter 101, but is also a Makki surah. This surah describes the arrival of judgment day and resurrection. So it's like a continuation. So the previous surah was about our attitude in this world, and this surah speaks about the result of that. So let's go through the chapter. Al-Qari'ah, the striking event. Some translate it as the striking calamity, because qara'a, yaqra'u, means to knock the door at night very hard. Taraqa means to knock at night, was-samai wa-tariq. But the difference between taraqa, daqqa is general. Anytime you knock the door, it's daqqa yaduqqu. And daqqa yaduqqu means something is intricate. Daqqa yaduqqu is to knock the door. Taraqa is to knock at night, and qara'a is to bang it at night. And imagine a person is deep in his sleep and someone is bang, 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 bang. He gets petrified. What's happening? What's going on? Midnight, he wakes up from his sleep. You know, it's a petrifying scene. And also the sequence of the chapter. Al-Qari'ah, mal-Qari'ah, wa ma adraka mal-Qari'ah. Quran is repeating. The striking event. What is this striking event that Quran is speaking about? See the emphasis in it. Then again Allah asks. So this word is repeated 5 times in the Quran. 3 times in this surah. Al-Qari'ah. 3 times. Al-Qari'ah. Mal-Qari'ah. What is this? Awe-strickening, awe-inspiring, petrifying event of Judgment Day. Al-Qari'ah. مَالْقَارِعَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْقَارِعَةِ. What will make you fathom? what will make you realize what Qari'a actually is. Allah help us on that day. Adra Yudri, Allah is telling us, what will make us understand and realize the reality of this day, that this day is true. Another surah, similar in rhythm to this surah, is Al-Haqqa. And the theme is the same. Al-Haqqa. Mal-Haqqa. Wama adraka mal-Haqqa. Actually, this form of emphasis and astonishment was shocking to the Arab who understood it. It was like the verses are knocking their hearts. That this is a reality. Let's leave all our evil actions and let's prepare to meet Allah. This is what this chapter is actually telling us. Yeah, Allah says then, what happens on Judgment Day? On that day, Yawma Yakunu Nas, people will become like scattered moths. Kalfarashil Mabthuth. People will become like scattered moths. Now interestingly, in Surah Iqtaraba, Allah refers to Judgment Day also. Surah Sa'a, the surah where Allah speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam splitting the moon. That chapter is also called Iqtarabati Sa'a. Qiyamah is very close. Iqtaraba. Qaruba is close. Iqtaraba, very close. Every added word in the Arabic changes the meaning. There Allah refers to people coming on Judgment Day like locusts. And here like moths. So some translate it that there's no difference. Actually, there's a big difference. When Quran says locusts, Quran is speaking about a certain scene on Judgment Day. When the Quran Kareem is saying moths, Quran Kareem is speaking about another scene on that day. So locust is something that follows a sequence, a pattern. The entire swarm, you call it, going together in one direction, in sequence, you know, with systematically. But moths have a different nature. They hover over, you know, over each other, and they bang into each other in a manner that is like utter confusion, banging into the light, banging into each other. So this parable where Quran says locusts, Quran is speaking about when people come out of their graves and they're hearing the announcement of Judgment Day and everyone is charging towards Sham, Palestine, the land of Mahshar. And everyone is going in that direction. Qa'an safsafa, the earth is flattened. La tara fiha iwajan wala amta. And la iwajala, no one can become crooked in responding. La iwaj, iwaj means crookedness. There's no crookedness, meaning there's no one who can neglect that call. Everyone has to go into single file in a systematic manner without having any control of themselves. Everyone will be charging in a systematic manner to the land of Mahshar on Judgment Day. Then when the day is so horrifying, then everyone becomes like scattered moths. So at one stage of Judgment Day, there's locusts. Yeah, people will be like locusts, and there's another stage where everyone will be like moths. And another possible interpretation is, first everyone comes out of their graves, but because of the siren and the blowing of the trumpet, everyone is like scattered moths. And then when the call comes for everyone to come onto the Maidan of Judgment Day, everyone becomes like locusts, charging in that same direction. Whichever one, but it's two different sequence, whichever the sequence, but it's two different stages of Judgment Day. So this is one of the stages when the Quran says, like scattered moths. And the mountains become like carded wool. Kal-ihn. Ihn is wool. Suf. Manfush is carded, scraped, and different colors because they scrape from the mountains. The mountains becoming like wool and flying everywhere. Because there's no more mountains. The mountains are crumbled. The mountains are flattened. Quran speaks about judgment like that. The whole world is flattened to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mountains are flying everywhere. And then Allah says, وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ. The mountains will be shifted. Meaning, afterwards there will be no more mountains. So here Allah says, the mountains become like carded wool scattered everywhere. Then Allah says, there's no more mountains anymore. Then Allah says, Ya Allah, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ. As for he whose scales are weighty, for he will be in a life that is pleasurable. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَ رَاضِيَ. جزاكم الله.
بارك الله فيك.
A life that is pleasurable. His scales are heavy. Now, interesting. Quran uses the word plural for scales. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ. Mawazin is a plural of either one of two words. If the singular is mizan, it means scales. Because mizan is scales. Mizan, mawazin. So the one whose scales will be heavy. Now why so many scales? Because each scale to weigh different deeds. Or it's plural. So the discussion is, why is it plural? So either it's plural because it's so huge, or it's plural because there's so many things to weigh in it. So there's a lot of scales. So there's different reasons why it's plural. But interesting is to note that it is plural. The other possible singular of mawazin is mawzoon. So as for the one who's, then it's mawzoon. What is to be weighed? So it's not the scale, but it's the action. As for the person whose action, what is to be weighed, is heavy. Such people will be in a pleasurable life. فَوَ فِي عِيشَ رَاضِيَ. Imagine that. So how are we going to make our scales weighty? With good actions. With ikhlas according to sunnah. A scale that is, an action that is good, with ikhlas according to sunnah, it will fill those scales. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam saw a vision of the scales. Huge, bigger than the heavens and the earth. He fell down unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he says, Allah, how are we going to fill the scales? Allah says to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, oh Hazrat Dawood, when my banda does for me sincerely, إِذَا رَضِيتُ عَنْ عَبْدِي مَلَأْتُهَا بِتَمْرَةٍ. One date he does for me, he gives for me. A little bit contribution he gives for me. I'll fill the scales with a date also. That's how merciful Allah is. So an action sincerely done for Allah, which is ikhlas, in accordance to sunnah, will fill the scales. Such a person, he will be in a pleasurable life. But this is also interesting. Quran says his life will be pleasurable. That is emphasis. That is, the person will be enjoying bliss. But Allah says, the life is so enjoyable, the life will be full of bliss. So there's emphasis in that. Aisha radiya. And as for he whose scales will be light, Allah save us. فَأُمُّهُ. أُمُّهُ is his abode, is هَاوِيَة. Now, Allah, هَاوِيَة is the never-ending pit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this pit. Person will fall for over 70 years and he'll be petrified as he's falling. It goes down. Hawiya. Now even the ta at the end there, fa ummuhu hawiya. And then see there, wama adraka ma hiya. Yeah, that ha at the end there is for horror. Astonishment. Tafkhim. What will make you fathom and realize what this hawiya actually is? Something else interesting to note when it comes to the Quran Kareem. When Quran brings adraka in the past tense, Quran gives us a reason. Quran gives an answer. When Quran brings adraka in the future tense, Quran Kareem doesn't give an answer. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. So when adraka comes, Allah gives an answer. When yudrika comes, Quran doesn't give an answer. What will make you realize what hawiya actually is? This pit, never-ending pit. The pit of hell. It is the blazing fire. Narun hamiya. Hamiya is heat that has reached the ultimate level of heat. It's not possible to go further than that. Now imagine a kettle. I think a kettle, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. Is that the pronunciation? The word for it?
We use Celsius. Yeah. So 100
degrees Celsius. Now imagine that's a kettle. When something goes hotter than that, when it reaches, so if it's 100, then when it reaches about 1400, it becomes so hot. At that level, that's the level where sand becomes glass. 1400 Celsius. Very, very high degree and level. It becomes so hot that actually you can't stir that heat. You can't stir it with metal because it will melt the metal. They stir it with wood. It's ajib. But imagine, we can't put our hands in a kettle. Imagine for sand to become glass. And imagine hellfire. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even the water that will be given to the Jahannami as he begs for water, that water is called Hamim. When it's given to him, it's so hot that his face will melt and fall inside that bucket. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if that bucket falls into the ocean, poured into the oceans will boil. Allah save us. And that's why these surahs are very worrying. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. Allah refers to his abode as ummuhu. Originally means mother. So basically, Quran is making a mockery of him. Because he made a mockery of deen and took deen as a joke. You know, that's how deadly it is. So Allah says, yeah, let him go to his mother in his abode of hell. Allah Ta'ala save us. That's one of the interpretations of this. Or it refers to ummuhu here, could refer to mother. And the lesson is, just like a person normally receives comfort from mother, mother's womb and mother's love, there'll be no place to squeeze him but the fire of hell. And it'll squeeze him like the mother's womb encompasses that child. That's one analogy here. The other is, it refers to ummur ra's, and that refers to the skin on the head. So what it means is, after 70 years, when he falls into the pit of hell, he land on the skin on top of, right on the top of the head. That's why the word is used, because also refers to that skin on the head. Hawiya means to fall from top to bottom. A pit. Hawiya. But what's ajib here is, after that, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ was sufficient. But there's another ta. مَا هِيَ. If you look at the verse, also look at it. There's another ta added there to really, that's for emphasis and tafkheem, that this is no joke. It is very, very serious. So it's actually like when you're looking at it, ma hiya hu, but because of the stop, the waqf, ma hiya, that added expression is for tafkheem and horror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us from hellfire. That's why every day you have to ask Allah, Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Every day. There's this great sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent sahaba out in Allah's way. And they were in battle. So there was one sahabi. His name was Muslim bin Harith. And some reports describe him as Harith bin Muslim. Whichever way. Let's remember one at least. Muslim bin Harith radiallahu anhu. The next day sahaba are going to attack. That night he went and made gush amongst the community. All the non-Muslims, they invited them to Islam. And he told them, you become Muslim, you'll become prosperous, successful in this world and the next. If you don't become Muslim, you're going to suffer and in this world and the next. He brought them all to Kalima. Next day, there was no war. So few were upset, like, now there's no booty. You know, there was good booty to receive from this area here. When they returned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so happy when he took this Karguzari, this report, that this sahabi went in that night, he brought the whole town to Islam. So my point is, we have to save ourselves from this fire and save humanity. We have to worry not for ourselves only. Like that beautiful story of Nizamuddin Awliya, Rahmatullah Ali, who said to his murids, just to test them, he wanted to put them through a certain, he wanted to see from his murids who has that pain for humanity. So he said to them, because murids were performing salah with him, he said, don't tell anybody, but tomorrow, the one who joins me for Fajr, he's guaranteed Jannat. And the one who doesn't will go to hell. But you can't tell anybody. Otherwise you will suffer. You know, he wanted to test them. Anyway, the murids were in the khanqah and they were, you know, listened to the Hazrat. But there was one particular person. And actually, I think that person's name was, the student's name was Nizamuddin Awliya Hazrat. So that particular student, he was restless. He's saying, Hazrat, and obviously what Hazrat says is important. And they took it as you know, definite. Hazrat said it. But how can I not tell anybody? If I bring the people, they'll all get saved from Jahannam. They're not coming every day, but at least they'll come, they'll get saved. Hazrat's barakat, Hazrat's dua. But then Hazrat also told us, the one who tells them, he's going to suffer them. And he's thinking to himself, hey, rather I suffer, but save everybody. He went to the whole community. He said, you know my Hazrat, this is his name, so and so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the kashf Hazrat saw. You have to make it for tomorrow's Fajr. Whole night he did this. That day the whole masjid was packed. So after Hazrat completed, he called his murids into the khanqa and he asked them, who told them? So one student was emotional. He said, Hazrat, I told them. He says, you know the consequence. What made you do this? He said, Hazrat, rather I suffer, but everyone must get saved. How can I let everyone go to hell? So Hazrat then smiled and says, you know, I wanted to see your fikr and pain for people. Where I can tell you who will go to Jannat and Jahannam, that only Allah knows. But I wanted to see who of you, my murids, have pain for the salvation of people. So when we read these surahs also, let's cry for humanity. Humanity don't know about this. That sahabi, his name was Hazrat Muslim, when he returned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got so happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him a dua. If you read this morning and evening after Fajr, after Maghrib, Allah will save you from hellfire. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told one sahabi to write for him this also. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful dua we must read. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him that dua because of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being happy over what he did to save one person from Jahannam. Imagine, Allah doesn't need us, but Allah can also use us as a means to save one person from Jahannam and take them to Jannah. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمته الله.